Today, we're excited to be able to share with you the experience of going to Thailand. And so we're going to hear from the team that went from Thailand. So I would like for you to give it up for the team as they come onto the stage and join me here. Let's come on up here, Thailand team. Don't they look good? Yes. We're glad that we safely came back. We left on Easter Day. We drove down to Chicago to fly out. We left on Sunday and arrived on Tuesday in Bangkok. A long time of travel, two different flights flying through Taiwan. We spent 10 days in Thailand in three different areas of Thailand, and then we traveled 36 hours in one calendar day this past Thursday to get back here. Anyone still tired? Still kind of, yes, we are still tired today trying to figure out what's up or down because Thailand's on the exact opposite side of the planet and they're exactly 12 hours ahead of us into the future. And so it's crazy to be there to do that. And so we're going to get to know the team. We're going to find out what happened there and kind of hear their stories and see what's going on. So let's go one by one. Tell us your name and tell us how long you've been coming to Focus Church.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I've been coming to Focus since August, so since this summer.
My name is Caleb, and I've been coming to Focus for about a year.
Hi, I'm Trina, and I've been coming to Focus Church for about a year as well.
Hi, my name's Mandy, and I've been coming for about 5 years.
Hi, my name's Dustin. I've been about 2 years now.
Hi, my name is Suzanne. I've been about a year now.
My name is Liberty, and I've been here for about a year.
Who are
I'm
you?
Shalee, and I've been here for about 7 years, 7.5 years, yeah.
Yeah, 7 years. And we're glad this team began coming together about 6 months ago. And it was 6 months ago that Shalee and I went to Thailand to visit our missionaries, Brandon and Rachel Powell, to plan a trip for bringing a group back from Focus Church. And the idea is that when you plan a trip that's that far away, you plan like 12 months in advance. But while we were there, one of the Thai pastors, his name is Pastor Tony, extended an invitation saying, please, will you consider coming out in April? Because we're going to put on this youth camp, and we need Americans there. And we want it to be you guys. And we're like, okay. Now, our missionary said, there's no way. No one can pull off a missions trip like this in 6 months. And we said, well, hold on. We'll pray about it, and we'll see if anyone's interested. And we put out the call, and this group stepped up and said, I'll go. And they raised their funds quickly. They got their passports quickly. We met a bunch in preparation for this trip. And in 6 months from the point that we were there, we were back in Thailand for this trip. Now, how many of you guys have actually been on a missions trip? Actually, how many of you would say this was your first missions trip you've ever been on? Okay. And of those people, how many have this was your first time ever leaving America? There are two people, first time ever going out of the country. And so that means that there's probably some culture shock in going to another country. And so let's help the people here understand what were some differences that Thailand is different from America that you experienced as you went there?
It doesn't smell very great. They don't have a very good sewer system in the cities, so the sewage just kind of runs throughout all the city, and you can smell it.
Yes, something else that's different.
So it's extremely hot, and they also drive on the wrong side of the road.
They drive on the left side of the road, yes. Mm-hmm.
They have these lovely monkeys that like to steal things from people.
Yes, and
They're very cute.
We witnessed that. We saw someone's backpack getting stolen. So yes, something else different about Thailand.
It completely changed my outlook on what do you eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner? Like, what are those foods? Because in Thailand, it's rice. So I hope you love rice, because it is rice for breakfast, light, lunch, dinner, dessert, and everything in between.
Yes.
So that was really interesting just to see their food groups and, you know, what they would eat different times of the day. And so we got to experience that for sure.
What else is different?
Everything's bigger except doorways and the people. Yeah. So every time I try to walk into a door, it's not meant for people over 6 foot, because there's not really many 6 footers in Thailand. Yes. So you have to duck or else you'll hit your head.
Right. Now, one of the barriers we had in going to Thailand is that they speak a different language. Now, what was, did anyone learn any Thai words or phrases?
Swatikra.
I was going to say, Caleb would like to share.
Why did you just cuss us out, Caleb? Like, no, what did you actually say to us?
I just said, hello.
Hello.
And kapkum kra, that means thank you. What else is there? My pun rai, that means no worry. No worries. Farang, we are Farangs. You are Farangs. We are all Farangs.
Rafrang. We heard this word being used about us all the time, and we're like, is that like a derogatory term? And they're like, not all the time. It's like, oh, okay, thanks.
There was one more important phrase that Caleb learned, and I'd like him to share that one as well.
Oh, no. I think on day two, I learned Tong Sia.
Tong Sia.
And
what's that mean?
It means broken stomach.
Yes.
Elizabeth said from all the rice. Yeah, yes. And maybe
questionable meat options. So we got to experience some different foods, a different culture, a different way of life, a different way of driving. We went on lots of different modes of transportation. You saw that in the video with tuk-tuks and backup pickup trucks and vans that seat 12 but are the size of a Honda Civic. they drive crazy there.
And by the way, there were 13 of us in the van.
Yes, there were 13 in a 12-passenger van that was the size of a Honda Civic, no lie. So that was fun. Now, they mentioned it was hot. And the reason why it's hot is because right at this point is their summer. It's the hottest point of the year. And I asked Brandon, I said, do all your missions teams die when they come in April? And he's like, we don't ever bring anyone out here in April. Average temperature was 104 while we were there, and with a ton of humidity, and it always felt at least 111. Anyone raise your hand. Did you sweat at all? We sweat through clothes and clothes and clothes. We were constantly just, yes, part of the experience. Now, why do we go? To go on a missions trip is really part of what is considered the Great Commission. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 28. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them what I've taught you, and I will be with you to the end. This was a mission that was given over to all believers. Like, this is what we're supposed to do. And so as we began planning to say, okay, yeah, we're gonna go to Thailand. Thailand sounds like a good vacation. Sounds like a good vacation. But we weren't going because of vacation. We were going because the mission says to go. But something that we've been talking about for 6 months is this idea, is that we don't gather a team of people to go save a country in 10 days. That short-term mission trip, that's not the purpose of it. We're going to go help the missionaries who are there. But really, we began praying this prayer early on, and to say, God, change me as I go someplace where you are working, where you are at, where there are people who need you. And so that's been our prayer the entire time. And so I would like to hear from any of the team, if that's been our prayer, how has God changed you as a result of going on this trip?
I think before, like in America, I see, you know, Jesus, and you hear about it all the time. But then you go there and you realize, like, we heard a lot of stories from people that they had never heard about Jesus, and you realize, like, how we a lot of times take Jesus for granted. And that really changed me in a way, like, I need to spend time with God every day, no matter what. I should not make excuses. Oh, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, like, whatever. And, you know, you need to pray about people who have never heard the name of Jesus, because they are out there, and we witnessed it, and we heard stories and people questioning, like, why have I never heard about Jesus and things like that. So that changed me.
Someone else.
When I went there, I realized that there's a big difference between knowing and understanding. Before I went, I knew a lot of things. Like, I knew 97% of people in Thailand were Buddhist, that they've never heard about Jesus. I knew that God spans the entire world, the entire universe, and loves every single person. But once you go to the other side of the world and you actually see those things, you actually start to understand. You start to see that there are people who have never heard about Jesus in their life. They've never even heard of the name or anything about Christianity, and there's just, these people don't have any hope. But then you start to realize when you're there that Jesus is with these people too on the other side of the world. So it's just, it's really bittersweet, because you see that there's a lot, that how big God is and how these people can have hope, but they just don't know about it.
Yeah, the Bible says that how can people hear unless someone goes and tells them? Someone has to actually go. And we were supporting several different groups as we went on this trip. We're supporting our missionaries, the Powells, Brandon and Rachel, and their three kids. Spent time with them. We were also with Pastor Tony, who is a Thai pastor who works in the town of Karat, who runs a Next Gen Center. And the Next Gen Center has only been around for 1 year. And already, as they've been investing in teenagers in their town, kids have come to know Jesus. They've actually started a church in November in the Next Gen Center. We got to spend last Sunday. We weren't with you guys. We were at their church, the blue room that you saw on the video where we were all packed in. That was a church that's in Karat. Now, that's a big deal that there's a church there, because as Caleb said, a majority of the country is Buddhists. And so it's ingrained not only in their thinking of this is who you are, this is what you do. It's like, this is what it means to be Thai, is to be Buddhist. And so for a Thai person to say yes to Jesus, they're actually saying no to their culture. Like, it's a big deal for someone to say yes to Jesus. Now, while we were there, we saw evidence of Buddhism everywhere. And so I want to hear just kind of, what did you see about Buddhism there, how people practiced, what was going on?
So you hear about it all the, you know, not, I guess maybe not all the time, but you hear about it, Buddhism and everything, how it is over there, but you don't realize how ingrained it is in the society until you're actually there. So everything evolves around it. There's spirit houses basically at every single house, every business. There's multiple places where a lot of that stuff is actually sold for people to buy. And it doesn't matter what the house looks like. It could be just a small shack on the side of the road, or it could be a million-dollar house. They have this what they call a spirit house, and they go to it daily and try to appease the spirit that would live in that house. And on top of that, they have, you know, just idols everywhere when it comes to a lot of that, and just statues built in city centers, in park centers. Sometimes they're within 20, 30 feet of each other. There's one, you could be at one and then turn to your left and there's another one like 15 feet from you. They're just that, they're just everywhere around there.
Yeah, it's very prevalent, and we see just what they're doing, and there's a lot of rituals involved, and but really something that we experienced there was just that there was just this heavy feeling in the country. You could feel oppression. You could feel the demonic. Who would here would say that I felt that there was something wrong while I was in this country? Yeah. That it's a physical presence you feel there. And so part of the ministry that we were able to be a part of was to do something called prayer walks. Can someone explain what a prayer walk was and what we did with that?
So basically the idea was to walk, and we went to several areas. The red light district, which is very prevalent there, they don't see it the way other people see it. So the idea was that while we're walking, we're praying, we're just saying, you know, Jesus, please help anyone in our line of sight. Let our hearts reach out to the ground, to the buildings. Let's just infuse everything with God's love and presence, because that's going to be the only way to win that country back, is to make sure we're putting God everywhere that they see, everywhere we touched. Just if you saw someone, there was an old man lying on the ground, and he was homeless, I think, but I don't know if he was homeless or he was possessed, or he just, it was kind of scary. And the way they view people is very different. You're not a person, you're a resource. So things, as long as you're using any portion of your body, your hands, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, whatever, it's a resource, because that's what they believe. It's very overwhelming. And as I think Mandy said it the best, we just need to pray for everyone to start to be able to hear the word of God and hear Jesus loves them and knows them.
So we went to the red light district. Another place that we did a prayer walk, what was that? Someone else? Correct.
We went to a couple temples to do prayer walks, or one temple and then one city square in Karat, where there's a big temple, a lot of worship, and they have a lot of things where it's called building merit with the spirits that live there. So you would, there's like a person with a cardboard box of fish, and you would pay them to take a fish and then put it in the river that's 2 feet away. And to them, that means they're setting the fish free, so they're earning merit and the spirits will favor them. But also in the city center, there was a place where there was people doing a lot of dancing and chanting, and you would pay these people to do dances and chants because they say that it appeased the spirits there and it would bless you. And as we're walking, and then we get to this tent where they're doing all of that, I could feel, just, it kind of felt like I was drowning in just evil. You could really just feel it. It's really hard to describe, but it's just, your morale just goes down suddenly. And then as we walk by it, Brandon, the missionary, he tells us, hey, in this place, there's a lot of demonic possession. And I was like, yeah, I feel that. So, but then we stayed there and we prayed for about 5 minutes. And when we pray, we use prayer as a weapon, because it really is a weapon. You see it in the Bible. Just the mention of Jesus' name can cast out demons from people. Jesus' name is so, so extremely powerful. So we would just go on these prayers, we would lift up his name, we would speak his name in the atmosphere, because it is just such a powerful name. And just keep praying. You know, we're not there right now, but we know about it, so we can pray for it. We can pray for that specific tent, that specific city square. So just keep praying in the name of Jesus over those people.
As we did that, I think I heard some of you guys mention that it affected how you view being back here, to realize, like, we were doing that over there, but are we praying for people here? Are we praying for our neighbors, our coworkers, our city, that it's not that, hey, we're just so blessed and God's everywhere here, and just not there. But we really felt this call to say, hey, we've got to do something, not just in Thailand. We need to do something in Sun Prairie and Dane County and in Wisconsin, too. Now, one of the primary reasons why we were over in Thailand was to help with this youth camp. And this is the brainchild of this Thai pastor. And he said, hey, I've got this idea to put on this camp for teenagers that's for English. He said Thai kids, their parents, the kids, they really want to learn English, but they really jump at the opportunity to be able to spend time with Farang, foreigners, to speak English with foreigners, especially Americans. And we were part of two foreign teams. There was an Australian team, and then we were the U.S. team. And we spent 3 days with Thailand teenagers, helping them with their English. Now, how many of you felt qualified to teach English? None of us. But what we discovered, and what was really interesting with this whole concept, was that this was a camp that was put on by Christians. And they used the Bible, God's story, to help kids practice English. Like there was worship, there was creation, there was Jesus' story, there was Noah's Ark. I'm like, these were the things we were using to tell kids about Jesus, and they were learning, which was crazy. So tell me, we got to hang out with a lot of kids. Something at the camp, maybe someone who stood out to you, a kid who you spent time with, or hey, they meant something to you. Like, I'll never forget who.
I haven't spoke yet. So kind of going there, I'm like, who wants to hang out with a middle-aged woman? A bunch of teenagers. I have a couple of my own that sometimes they don't want to hang out with me. But I wasn't part of a group per se, but during some of the times they had, these students don't do a lot with the creative side, so the arts. They had an opportunity to draw. And let me tell you, they can spend an hour drawing something. I'm like, I don't know if our American kids, teenagers, could sit that long to draw, but they chose to. And then the drawings were Jesus' stories. So as they spoke them, they drew them. So we sat down, and I got the privilege to sit with five young girls, about 15, and they just loved us. They just loved everything I had to say. They were laughing and making jokes, and I was trying to interpret some of what they were saying. I didn't. They're about 20 years behind us, I would say. The movie they love is Titanic. So they were trying to show the motions of Titanic and making jokes because I couldn't get it. But nonetheless, they just loved on me. And I said to my family, I'm like, who's going to want to swim with me? Not that I can't swim. They asked me if I could swim. So everything I said, hey, I'm too old for this. They're not really too old, but I mean, for a teenage camp. I swam with a bunch of 15-year-olds, and then I brought my daughter with me, too. But the point, I guess, I'm trying to say is, even though I didn't think that was going to transpire throughout the week, exactly what I said wouldn't happen did happen. So, surprise for all. And they're just wonderful girls that just had such compassion and excitement for all these farangs to come and be part of their lives.
Someone else.
I'd say one of the things I really loved about the camp is, you know, very similar to Trina's story, is that we didn't understand very well what they were saying, and they didn't always understand what we were saying, but they really wanted to learn English, and they had such great patience and grace for us, but it didn't matter that we didn't speak the same language. We could feel it. It was fun, and we were there doing something and willing, and they would just pull us along, and Suzanne and I were in the same group, and they would just kind of pull us and kind of point and tell us what silly game we were supposed to be doing, or they'd throw a water gun in my hand and show me where to shoot, and we just did it. And it was so much fun, and it did give us opportunity to learn some of their keywords, but for them to speak with us and laugh at us probably more than anything. But really just seeing for me that we could go to this teen camp and not really understand all the things that were going on, but we didn't need to understand the language because we could feel it. We could feel Jesus moving there. We could feel the fun and the love in that room. And so that was really powerful and enjoyable for me to experience, regardless of if I knew what they were saying or talking about me or not.
Yeah. I think both of you are hitting on some insecurities that we may have brought to the table of saying, hey, we don't know the language. Who would want to hang out with us? We don't know what we're doing. We don't have anything to offer. And going on a trip like this really pushes you out of your comfort zone. Anyone get pushed out of their comfort zone? There you go. Yes. And when you're in that, you have to choose to put yourself in that spot, but it makes you vulnerable. It puts you in a spot where you're saying, hey, I'm going to do something I've never done before. And how about some examples of some things we've never done before that you'd say, I never thought I would do this, and I did this past week.
Okay, seriously, forget the bugs. It's not about the bugs. They all ate bugs. I did not eat any bugs.
They ate bugs,
I was not
yes.
going down there. But one of the games that the kids were playing was, they have a thing for superheroes, right? So we're going to do Superman. So you're going to put on a cape and Superman-like underwear. They're red, whatever. anyway, over their clothes, run down across the floor and write all the English words you can think of that you heard in songs or in the messages. And the farang had to do this. Well, my cohort in crime behind me, bless her heart, she got to count words. You get to go count the words, are they right? I had to look like Superman. I'm 58 years old, people. I do not put on weird Superman drawers and a cape and run and write English words, but yet, alas, I did do that. And it was a lot of fun, and you just can't make that stuff up.
No,
it was amazing.
No. We saw in the video giant bullfrogs and eels. They all had to touch those things as part of a game. Crazy stuff. What else did we have to do?
Oh. Yeah, we also ate some odd things. So we ate eel and frog, which was very out of my comfort zone.
The eel and frog from where?
Oh, the game. Oh, yeah. Okay, I was supposed to explain that.
Yes.
So people picked up an eel or a frog and ran across the
grass.
Sure. And put it in a bucket, and then the next day they decided to serve it to us because nothing gets wasted.
Nothing wasted, that's right. We were joking around like, oh, that's probably gonna show up in the cafeteria the next day. And then all of a sudden, we had no later said that, and out comes a plate, say, extra protein, like more food. What is this? Oh, it was crazy, the point of the camp actually culminated with an actual invitation to say that kids could say yes to Jesus, to make God the leader of their life. And when they had that moment, after spending 3 days with us, after learning all about God and everything, God's presence, there were 18 students who said yes to God at this camp. And that's, give God praise on that. That has nothing to do with Focus Church, this team, anything, and everything to do with God and making that possible. And I just say, it's a big deal for a Buddhist teenager to say yes to God. Because it's not just, oh, that's the cool thing to do, I'll just raise my hand. No, like when they're saying yes, they're saying, I probably am going to be persecuted because of this. I'm probably going to be kicked out of my family because I might lose my job over this. I might lose my scholarship over this decision. Like, this is a big deal. And so we want to continue to pray for Thailand, to pray for kids. Now, we got an opportunity, Pastor Shalee, to go to a village. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, we went out to a village kind of out in the middle of nowhere a little bit. It was quite a drive, and we may have got stuck on a road that didn't exist. But there we were. We went to these people's house there, and people who hadn't heard about Jesus. And there is an older couple there, the sisters and the brothers and all the family was around. We got to visit a couple houses, but I think what touched a lot of our hearts so much was Brandon and Pastor Art, who was another Thai pastor there that was with us, kind of explaining things to them. She was pulling out a Bible and teaching them about the Word of God. And the older lady there, who was, I think, in her 60s, said, "Why has no one ever told me this before?" And that is, it's so disheartening and so just unbelievable that she hadn't heard the story. And why was this now? We got to pray with them and talk to them, and Pastor Art's gonna go back and visit them. But out there in the middle of this village where they really had nothing, some tin roofs and some platforms we sat on, they hadn't heard about Jesus.
It's not just a statistic. It's not just an abstract idea. This mission to go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them. There are people who really need Jesus. I know something that affected me as we went on prayer walks. There was something our missionary said. He said, as you're passing by people, he said, why don't you pray for them? That might be the only time in their life that anyone has ever lifted them up in prayer. That just blew my mind, that there are people like that, but they're not just in Thailand, they're here too. And the mission, it's real. Like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be helping people find God's place in their life. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And an opportunity like going on a missions trip, it's eye-opening. it's eye-opening. We ask God to change us, and he changed us, and we will never be the same for going on this. And show with your thumbs on whether or not, if someone is thinking, maybe I should go on a mission trip too, should they consider it? Yes. Yes. Like, this is whatever apprehensions we had, whatever the cost barriers or just all the logistics or even just being scared, just having fear. It paled in comparison. It was eclipsed by the experience that we actually had there and how God used this out-of-country opportunity to change our hearts. And God can do the same for you, too. We want to make sure that we continue to lift our missionaries up in prayer because they are on the front lines and they are literally doing battle and they are making a difference. And we got to see this firsthand. We want to pray for the Thai church that they are reaching their community, that they are doing amazing things. And you can just see the joy of these teenagers who have found God, that it was inspiring to us. Like, wow, I want to serve like them. I want to have joy like them. I want to be bold in my faith like them. It was inspiring. We want to pray for them. And so I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would bow your heads, if you would close your eyes, as we take this moment to talk to God about Thailand. God, we're so thankful that we had the opportunity to take this group of people to go to Thailand to not make a difference, but rather, God, so that we could have this opportunity for you to change us, for you to make a difference in our lives, to change our perspective of what the mission really is, that the mission is real, it's not fake, that there are people who need Jesus, and that's a real need, that that hope that comes from Jesus is real, it's powerful, that the name of Jesus is powerful and makes a difference, that our prayers matter. And God, I pray that you would be with our missionaries who are there on the front lines, the Powell family. God, I pray that you would protect them, that you would bless them, that you would take care of them, that you would continue to give them opportunity to reach more people for you, God, to share the love, the light, the hope that is found in you. God, we pray for Pastor Tony, Pastor Art, the Thai Church, for Asapart, the Next Gen Center in Karat. God, I pray that you would continue to open doors. I pray that you would bless them. God, I pray that you would continue to help them be effective in reaching people for you. God, I pray that you would give people the strength to be able to turn away from Buddhism and go towards you, to go to the light, to go to Jesus. God, we're excited about the lives that have been changed. God, we pray that they would come to know you more, that they would continue to grow in their faith, that they would talk to their families, God, that they would lead them to you as well. And God, finally, we pray for what you want to do in our hearts here, realizing that the mission is not just on the other side of this planet, but it's right here, close to home, that there are people around us who need you, who need the hope that is found in you. So God, make us aware. Help us to know that it's real, that you are needed. We love you, God, and we thank you today. In Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, we do not want to close this time without giving you the opportunity to receive that same hope that we've been talking about. You see, God loves you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin. There's nothing that we can do to earn our forgiveness, to change our trajectory. You see, the Bible says we have all sinned. We all fall short of God's holy standard. And thanks to Adam and Eve who sinned first in the garden, all human beings are destined to spend eternity apart from God. But God doesn't want us to end up there. That's why he loves us and he sent a way that through Jesus, who lived a perfect life on this planet, who died for our sins, he took it upon himself. He paid the price for your sin, for my sin, so that we don't have to spend eternity apart from him, but we could actually live life with hope as part of his family, to live life forgiven, to live life with mission, to spend eternity with him in heaven. You may be saying, whether you're here in person or you're watching online, you can be saying, Pastor, I want that hope that you're talking about. What do I need to do? Well, you got to talk to God and say yes to him. to say a simple prayer that goes along the lines of saying, I'm sorry for my sin, that I believe and I'm going all in and making you the leader, the boss of my life. You see, when we pray this prayer, that's when we're forgiven, that's when we're set free. We just talked about how 18 Thai teenagers at a youth camp, an English camp, made that decision, and today can be the day that you make that decision as well. And I wanna help you with this. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray that simple prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to ask you if you would pray this prayer repeating after me out loud as well. This prayer that is the best decision you could ever make. But you're not gonna be praying alone today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. Let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope, give me freedom, bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.